Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called?
Welcome to Off the Hour here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're 28 days into the month of July, and you're tuned into The Avalanche, a special presentation of CKUT's Community News Department. Tonight on Off the Hour, the first installment of an audio documentary about the remarkable process of progressive social change taking place in Latin America. Do stay tuned. You're listening to a special edition of CKUT's community news program, Off the Hour, hosted and engineered by The Avalanche, an initiative of the West Montreal Readaptation Center. All abilities are welcome. If you would like to get involved, call 514-448-4041, extension 6788, or email avalanche@ckut.ca. Do stay tuned.
There is this thing. Do you realize
what is?
There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on.
What
do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is
Venezuela,
Brazil,
Argentina,
Ecuador,
Bolivia,
Uruguay,
Paraguay,
Nicaragua, Salvador,
Cuba.
With 10 left-wing governments in power today, Latin America is leading the world in implementing progressive social change.
Demonized by the North American mainstream media, a revolution is taking place in Latin America as many governments reject U.S. imperialist domination and neoliberalism in favor of socialism, social democracy, and integration.
From the 1950s to the 1990s, the United States subjected Latin America to 18 military dictatorships and neoliberalism. The dictatorships killed about 1 million people, and neoliberalism impoverished many countries.
The Latin American Revolution is the people's answer to these U.S. imperial strategies. This remarkable process is the result of decades of struggle by political parties and social and guerrilla movements inspired by Latin America's liberator, Simón Bolívar, and its best-known revolutionary, Che Guevara.
La revolución.
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 Revolución. Revolución latinoamericana.
You're listening to The Latin American Revolution, a four-part radio documentary. I'm Kristen Schwartz.
I'm Asad Ismi. Most of the interviews in this documentary were recorded at the 2009 World Social Forum held in Belém, Brazil.
This is Venezuela, the Bolivarian Revolution, the opening episode in our series. Venezuela, under President Hugo Chavez, has been a leader of the Latin American Revolution. For the next half hour, we focus on how the Chavez government has transformed Venezuela.
Another world is possible. Not only possible, it's necessary. And this world is being born in Latin America and the Caribbean today. In this land of Bolívar, Martí, San Martín, Fidel, O'Higgins, Artigas, Alfaro, the indigenous people, Tupac Amaru. We are living in a revolution, a real revolution.
That was President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela speaking to a wildly enthusiastic audience of thousands at the 2009 World Social Forum in Belém, Brazil. On the historic night of January 29th, he shared the stage with four other Latin American presidents: Evo Morales of Bolivia, Lula da Silva of Brazil, Rafael Correa of Ecuador, and Fernando Lugo of Paraguay. Each presented his vision of the Latin American Revolution.
Since its formation, Venezuela has been dominated by a rich white elite, descended from Europeans who ruled over a poor indigenous, mestizo, and Afro-Venezuelan majority. The U.S.-backed elite monopolized wealth and power and kept more than 50% of Venezuelans mired in poverty, in spite of the fact that Venezuela is the world's fifth biggest oil producer. With Washington's support, the Venezuelan elite proved itself one of the most corrupt in the world, looting the country's oil wealth for 40 years. When the people protested, they were killed. Due to this poverty and repression, a popular movement arose, which elected Hugo Chavez president in 1998. Chavez launched the Bolivarian Revolution, which signified the start of the continent-wide Latin American Revolution.
The Bolivarian Revolution is named for Simón Bolívar, who liberated South America from Spanish colonialism in the 19th century. Bolivar wanted South American countries to unite, partly to prevent another imperial power, the United States, from dominating them. The massive success of the Chavez government can be explained by the fact that it is an instrument of the poor majority in Venezuela, who are rising up to claim their country and its resources. Chavez is the first ruler in Venezuela's history to ensure the participation of the poor in politics.
A former army colonel, Chavez comes from a poor family and is part indigenous and part Afro-Venezuelan. Chavez has been elected three times and by the largest majority in 40 years. The Chavez government has won eight elections altogether and has been ruling Venezuela for 10 years. Determined to end what he calls savage capitalism, Chavez has redistributed Venezuela's wealth by massively expanding free education and medical care and through land reform and public subsidies. For this reason, the United States has tried to overthrow him three times through a military coup, economic destabilization, and an assassination attempt.
Clara Herrera is a Venezuelan social economist who has worked for the Chavez government in community development in the poor neighborhoods of the capital city, Caracas. She has held posts with the National Housing Council, worked with communal councils, and served as president of the Center for Training in Local Decision Making. We spoke with her and her daughter in Toronto.
Y el gobierno revolucionario baja el recurso.
The revolutionary government ensures that the money from the oil goes to the communities.
Y el gobierno de Chávez cree.
And the government of Chávez believes in the poor and invests in the poor.
Al pobre.
The result has been a stunning reduction of poverty to 26% of the population from more than 50%. Also, in 10 years of revolution, the minimum wage has increased more than 600%. Unemployment has been cut from 20% to 6%, and Venezuela has moved up 4 positions in the United Nations Human Development Index.
A major emphasis of the Bolivarian Revolution has been on improving health care for the Venezuelan people. Before Chavez came to power, 70% of Venezuelans had no access to basic medical care. The Chavez government has made health care free for everyone and built thousands of new clinics, hospitals, and diagnostic centers across the country. The government's healthcare program is called Mission Barrio Adentro, which means inside the neighborhood. This mission has taken care of 24 million patients out of a population of 26 million. The program has sent doctors into urban shantytowns and rural villages that have rarely seen medical practitioners. When initially Venezuelan doctors refused to go to these areas, the Chavez government brought in 46,000 Cuban doctors to do so. Since then, Venezuelan doctors have joined the Cubans, says Clara Herrera.
Yo creo que esa fue la apertura de la revolución.
The start of the Bolivarian Revolution was the arrival of the Cuban doctors. One of the worst problems we had at the time was healthcare. They treated the people with love and respect. They emphasized preventative medicine. In every poor community, a clinic was set up which was equipped to deal with basic medical problems.
Mission Barrio Adentro is only one health program amongst many. Mission Milagro, meaning miracle, has restored eyesight to about 300,000 Venezuelans. Mission Gregorio Hernandez takes care of disabled people who were formerly excluded from medical attention. Mission Sonrisa, meaning smile, provides free dental care. Infant mortality in Venezuela has been reduced from 21 per 1,000 babies to 13, the third lowest rate in South America. 120 medical drugs are distributed free by the government, which has set up subsidized pharmacies that sell other medicines at a 40% discount.
Santiago Arconada Rodriguez is a community activist in Caracas. We talked to him at the 2009 Belém World Social Forum about the improvements in healthcare in Venezuela.
In the past, we could not think to have medical doctor in the neighborhood. That's the difference. And now we have medical doctors almost in all the neighborhoods.
Santiago shared his family's experience with us.
Someone had something like a heart attack in the neighborhood. And the neighbor came to the house, knocking the door, and please help us, go look for the doctor. My son, Gabriel, and another neighbor went looking for the Cuban medical doctor who was not far from our houses. And he came down to the house where the lady was in shock, and he arranged everything, give the pills, take the tension, blood pressure, and all the things. My son told to me, now I believe in revolution because it has happened to me. I have, and I can give you numbers, but this is happening all over Venezuela, and all the people knows that.
While ensuring people's physical well-being through free health care, the Bolivarian Revolution is liberating their minds through public education. Before the revolution, more than 40% of Venezuela's population was illiterate. In less than 3 years, the Chavez government's educational missions have taught 3 million Venezuelans how to read and write, eliminating illiteracy. Now, Venezuela has one of the highest levels of literacy in the world.
The missions for education include Mission Robinson for illiteracy, Mission Rebus for high school, and Mission Sucre for university. More than 3,000 new schools have been built. 2 million children have been added to the educational system, a 25% increase. Adults without high school education have been given this in neighborhood schools. More than 1 in 3 Venezuelans is enrolled in high school and university. 10 million Venezuelans are now studying.
The effect of this revolutionary education is to raise the political consciousness of a people long made apathetic by capitalist education and media. This new consciousness transcends and unites three generations and fuels the revolution. Earlier, we heard from Clara Herrera. Her daughter, America Maldonado, is a documentary filmmaker who is directing Impacto Chavez USA, a documentary which examines the effects President Chavez and the Bolivarian Revolution have had on the United States.
You know, we've been brainwashed for a long time. My grandmother was a person that every day she just watched soap operas, you know. And right now, like since the revolution, she just watched all these news channels and she's all into it and she knows it and she's like supported. But she was like, she always supported like the, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, let's say in Venezuela, you know. She always supported the Republicans her entire life. But now she has seen the change and she talks about it like this government has wake me up in this dream. Like she's 80 years old and she's all like, more lefty than we are, you know, so it's great.
Along with healthcare and education, the Bolivarian Revolution has given the people land and food. Food security has long been a crucial problem for Venezuelans due to the high poverty rate before Chavez took power. Under Mission Marcal, the government has set up 8,000 subsidized supermarkets and small markets all over the country, making food affordable for 8 million Venezuelans a month who shop there. The stores are part of the Corporation of Socialist Markets, or Comercio, a publicly owned network of subsidized supermarkets and food stores. The government recently nationalized the Exito supermarket chain and announced its intention to nationalize the Cativan chain as well. Prices in these stores will be reduced by 40%.
The Chavez government's land reform program, called Mission Zamora, promotes equitable land ownership and food security. 70% of the land in Venezuela is owned by only 3% of the people, who often leave it unused. For this reason, the country has to import 70% of its food needs. Mission Zamora has broken up large, idle landed estates called latifundios and redistributed 3.4 million acres of land to 15,000 peasant families, as well as set up 50,000 cooperatives for the new owners. These steps have boosted food production and started Venezuela toward food self-sufficiency.
The Bolivarian Revolution would not have taken place without indigenous leadership. President Chavez is part native. As he has said, 100 million native people were massacred in the colonization of the Americas by Europeans. This is one of the biggest genocides in human history. The Bolivarian Constitution of 1999, for the first time in Venezuelan history, recognizes the rights of indigenous peoples.
In 2003, the Chavez government launched Mission Guaycapuro, named for the indigenous leader who fought the Spanish invaders. This mission promotes the land rights of Venezuelans' 28 native nations and makes social programs available to them in a culturally appropriate fashion. When native Venezuelans are taught to read and write, it's in their own language, not just Spanish. To further such education, the government is facilitating the establishment of the Indigenous University of Venezuela.
We met one of the founders of the Indigenous University, Adedu Kawa, at the Belém 2009 World Social Forum. Kawa is a descendant of the Carib nation and is from the state of Amazonas in the south of Venezuela. To a packed room, he made a presentation about the history and vision of the Indigenous University of Venezuela, which is the first native university in Latin America.
The Indigenous University is born with the participation of indigenous peoples of Venezuela, particularly those in the south of Venezuela.
Primeramente, la universidad nace con una idea de que los pueblos indígenas puedan editar textos en bilingüe.
It is born from the idea that the indigenous peoples need to publish bilingual texts in their own language and in Spanish, in view of the fact that we, the indigenous peoples, are constantly losing our values, our culture.
continuamente perdiendo nuestros valores. Estamos perdiendo nuestra cultura. Estamos.
We are forgetting our ancestors and our mother earth.
Nuestros ancestros, de nuestra madre tierra.
The members of the governing body of the Indigenous University are elders of the different Indigenous peoples.
Dentro de la universidad hacemos también una semana.
We have a week of Indigenous wisdom, which is a very important activity.
En una semana organizamos una actividad muy importante dentro de la universidad, donde cada pueblo viene, cada representante viene a acompañar a sus.
Where each Indigenous people and students' parents come to accompany their children in an exploration of our culture and history.
Se toma un espacio, se deja para que los estudiantes indígenas vayan tomando. Vayan construyendo su vida, su cultura, vayan escribiendo la mitología, vayan escribiendo.
And thus they experience the culture and even practice our artisan art.
Experimentando la cultura y que vayan también practicando cómo hacer las artesanías, pero en distintas actividades, en una semana.
Afterward, we have a great celebration where all participate. So the Indigenous University does not operate in isolation, but is in constant contact with the communities.
The basis of the Bolivarian Revolution is giving power to the people. The Bolivarian Constitution, passed by referendum in 1999, declares that Venezuela is a participatory democracy. To promote this system, Chavez has set up 35,000 communal councils and 130,000 grassroots Bolivarian circles in neighborhoods and workplaces across Venezuela. These circles have helped raise mass consciousness among the poor for the first time, and the communal councils have transferred real power to them. As Chavez has said, poverty is eliminated by giving power to the people.
Julio Chavez is one of the leaders of the Bolivarian Revolution in Venezuela. Julio is not related to Hugo Chavez. As mayor of the city of Carora, which is in Lara province, Julio is well known for bringing the Bolivarian Revolution to the municipal level by introducing participatory democracy at the grassroots. He did this by creating a municipal constituent assembly, a participatory budget, and communal councils. The Municipal Constituent Assembly produced a new municipal constitution that was consistent with the Bolivarian Constitution. Julio now serves as a deputy in the Lara Provincial Legislature for the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, the ruling party headed by President Hugo Chavez. We interviewed him when he visited Toronto. Here, Julio talks about the Municipal Constituent Assembly and the participatory budget.
Por lo tanto, comenzamos entonces convocando a nuestro pueblo en la municipalidad.
Consequently, we summoned the peoples in our municipality to public discussions where we could collectively decide on new regulations and bylaws that worked in accordance to the principles outlined by this new constitution. Subsequently, these new regulations and bylaws were approved by our local and elected municipal council. So we have a situation where there is a process that transforms political power and transfers it to the people. Furthermore, we invited people to come together and discuss collectively how municipal resources should be allocated and invested. We wanted the community to make these decisions in a conscientious and organized manner, instead of having a mayor make these important decisions on their behalf. To make this happen, we organized groups by blocks within the urbanized sector and by lanes in the rural areas. We distributed to them all necessary information about what resources were available to be invested back into their communities.
Llevándoles, dándoles toda la información de los recursos disponibles para invertir en el municipio.
Along with the Municipal Constituent Assembly and Participatory Budget, Julio Chavez has created one of the largest networks of communal councils in Venezuela, which are part of the birth of a new state. The councils are considered to be the real engine of popular revolutionary power in the country.
The communal councils are inspired by the rich experience of Venezuela's indigenous people who live communally. The councils are organizations of between 200 and 400 families that live in a given neighborhood. These families form different committees, such as committees for housing, culture, water, and lands. The communal council decides what projects are needed by the neighborhood and buys the labor and materials required. In this way, the councils have built houses, schools, water treatment plants, and paved roads for much less cost than when these tasks were contracted to private companies.
En cuatro años,
in 4 years,
del gobierno municipal nuestro,
in our municipal government,
por vía de la gobernación del estado Lara,
through the governor of the state,
y de la alcaldía del municipio Torres,
and of the city hall of Torres,
a través de nuestros institutos de vivienda,
through our institutes of housing,
logramos construir unas 700 viviendas en cuatro años en todo el municipio Torres.
In the entire municipality, these institutions managed to build 700 houses in 4 years.
Ahora, cuando implementamos esa misma política de construcción de vivienda,
when we carried out the very same policy of housing, of building housing,
a través de los comités de vivienda de los de todos los consejos comunales,
the housing committee of all the community councils,
en 8 meses y medio,
in 8.5 months,
con menos recursos,
with less number of resources,
logramos construir unas 2,900 viviendas en 8 meses y medio.
In 8.5 months, we managed to build
2,900
houses with less resources.
Casi cuatro veces.
That's almost four times.
En un cuarto del tiempo.
In one fourth of the time.
De modo que esa es una demostración determinante, contundente.
That is an example, a very stark example.
De que es posible construir un nuevo estado.
To construct a new state.
Cuando seguimos la orientación de la Constitución.
When we follow the orientation, the policies of our Constitution.
The government intends to unite communal councils into socialist communes, which will engage all the councils together in an expanding circle of self-government. This vision inspires people all over the world, including in Toronto, where Julio spoke to students.
Nosotros estamos yendo más abajo ahora.
So we are going further down.
Sí, estamos profundizando más.
We are deepening.
Estamos viendo las raíces.
Process. We're going to the roots.
Porque creemos que la raíz de todo, la génesis, es la comunidad.
Because we think that the real roots of the nation is the community, the grassroots community at the bottom.
Y de la unión y de la articulación de varios consejos comunales en un mismo territorio.
And the union of the communal councils in a certain area are what we call the comuna.
Ahora estamos avanzando hacia la comuna.
We are advancing towards the comuna.
¿Se acuerdan ustedes la comuna de París?
So do you remember the commune of Paris?
Y que luego las comunas articuladas van a dar origen al territorio comunal.
And so now we believe that the communes, which, as they are articulated, will impact the territory.
Con las nuevas ciudades comunales,
with the new communal cities that are
sustentables,
they are sustainable cities that are being formed.
Y así entonces iremos edificando el nuevo estado.
And this is the way that we will be building the new state of Venezuela.
Este es el estado.
Due to the impressive progress of the Bolivarian Revolution, the United States and the Venezuelan elite have tried and failed to overthrow Chavez 3 times, leading to the expulsion of the U.S. ambassador. As the enforcer of neoliberalism and imperialism, the U.S. government has overthrown many governments in Latin America and around the world for attempting to redistribute wealth and power. Through coups, invasions, assassinations, covert wars, and economic coercion, that is, through state terrorism, the U.S. has perpetuated the genocide of about 1 million Latin Americans since 1950.
The Chavez government has triumphed over U.S. imperialism so far because it has organized the people to defend the gains of the Bolivarian Revolution. President Hugo Chavez.
10 years ago, the Bolivarian Revolution entered the government of Venezuela, pushed forward by a powerful popular movement that 10 years later is still there. For years, we have been resisting aggressions, coups, terrorism, sabotage imposed on us by the U.S. empire. And here we are, on our feet, and prepared to receive 100 more years of aggressions if we have to.
I've been listening to Venezuela, the Bolivarian Revolution, the first episode of the documentary series, The Latin American Revolution. This is Bolivia, the Indigenous Revolution, the second episode in our series. Under the leadership of Latin America's first Indigenous president, Evo Morales, Bolivia has been undergoing remarkable social changes. For the next half hour, we focus on the Bolivian struggle.
The world is being shaken by many crises of finances, energy, climate, food, and institutions. But all of these crises are part of one big crisis that is being experienced by the capitalist system. If we, the peoples of the world, are not able to bury capitalism, this same capitalism will bury our planet. And that is why, sisters and brothers, it is our great responsibility to stand up and defend humanity itself. This crisis presents us with a great opportunity to build a different world, just as long as we are willing to employ an alternative model. If we are not able to create this new alternative model opposite to capitalism, this system will continue to destroy our planet as it agonizes.
That was President Evo Morales of Bolivia speaking at the 2009 World Social Forum in Belém, Brazil. Inspired by the examples of President Chavez in Venezuela and Che Guevara and Fidel Castro in Cuba, Morales has launched an indigenous socialist revolution in his country. 62% of Bolivia's population of 9 million is indigenous. This majority has long been kept in poverty and denied power, land, education, medical care, and its resources by a small white elite, which has been a puppet of the U.S. government and multinational corporations. Bolivia is the poorest country in South America, and about two-thirds of its citizens live in poverty. Morales, a former coca farmer from a poor family, was initially elected in 2005 as the country's first native president with 53% of the vote. He is from the Aymara Nation.
In December 2009, Morales was re-elected by a landslide, making him the most popular president in Bolivian history. Morales got 67% of the vote, more than twice that obtained by his nearest rival, and his party, known as Movement Towards Socialism, or MAS, took two-thirds of the seats in the National Assembly. The result has destroyed three right-wing political parties that have shared the presidency between them for the last 20 years.
Morales is popular because his government has spent the last 4 years redistributing Bolivia's wealth from its elite and multinational corporations to the country's native majority. He has nationalized Bolivia's oil and gas reserves, the second largest in Latin America. These resources were formerly controlled by foreign companies. As in Venezuela, Morales is also redistributing wealth through land reform and by expanding education and medical care.
In January 2009, the Morales government's new constitution, which empowers the indigenous majority, was approved in a popular referendum. This is Latin America's first indigenous constitution after 500 years of genocide, during which 100 million native people have been killed by European invaders. The survivors in Bolivia and other countries have been treated as subhuman. Morales emphasized the historic significance of the new constitution in his speech at the Belém World Social Forum, just days after the referendum.
Sisters and brothers, I want to let you all know that this Sunday past in Bolivia, we have turned the page on neoliberalism and colonialism. Thanks in part to the social conscience of our people, we have placed a permanent lock in our constitution that will prevent any future privatization of our natural resources as well as all social services. With this new state constitution, a product of 500 years of struggle, we have accomplished the full recognition of the rights of the indigenous and first peoples of Bolivia.
Cynthia Cineros is indigenous and a journalist who worked for the Morales government. Her job was to travel throughout Bolivia explaining the new constitution to the people before it was voted on.
So then the reality which we have been facing for quite some time has been marked by a violence that was systemic. It was one of continued exclusion that failed to convey or address our true realities. The democratic revolution we are in the midst of is managing to give dignity back to a people who are tired of living with their heads bowed down. It is also demonstrating to our people for the very first time in our recent history that they can determine their own destiny.
The Morales Constitution decolonizes Bolivia by creating a plurinational state which gives equal rights to all of Bolivia's 36 peoples and makes native nations sovereign or autonomous.
Mainly, this constitution has included the indigenous communities and nations as a collective subject with indisputable rights. On the first section of this new constitution, it makes a point to recognize the 36 ethnicities that form part of Bolivia. It recognizes their importance and the need for their inclusion. This means that indigenous peoples may participate as members of a community or nation, as well as individual citizens of Bolivia.
Rosemarie Irusta is of indigenous descent from Bolivia. She works with the non-governmental organization Habitat for Women, which is active throughout Bolivia and Latin America. She lives in the city of Cochabamba. We spoke to her at the 2009 World Social Forum in Belém.
La posición del pueblo indígena también muy importante. En un momento han estado...
The role of indigenous people is also of great importance. Long ago, they were not acknowledged. Everyone carried on as if they did not exist. They were not empowered and would not come out and say, I am here, or I am of this ethnicity. Many of us Bolivians were not aware that we had in total 36 different ethnicities or indigenous nations in this country. Now we know. Most of us only knew of the Quechuas and the Aymaras, but we did not know of the Guaranis or of the Guarayos and many others. And this revolution has made them visible, has allowed us to acknowledge one another and to recognize their existence.
Traditional methods of Aboriginal government, community justice, and healing are now officially recognized as being equal to current law and science. Indigenous communities can now apply their own justice, control resources that the central government supplies, and act to preserve their languages and customs.
Tomas Juanaku represents the National Council of Ayas and Marcas of Cuyasuyu, or CONAMAC, an important indigenous organization in Bolivia made up of the Aymara and Quechua nations. Ayas are extended family communities, Marcas cover a wider area, and Cuyasuyu denotes the Bolivian highlands. Here, Juanaku is speaking at the Belém World Social Forum.
And where does this overriding right, this entitlement as indigenous peoples come from? It stems from the understanding that we are the children of our mother nature, of our Pachamama. We need to turn away from that Western education models which domesticize us, which turns us into subordinates. We are the stewards of these lands. We are the ones who the land belongs to. Yet, the invaders are the ones who live happily. They are the ones who are well-fed. They don't even make up 50% of the world's population. It's a mere 5% of humanity that controls us. We have to fight against this injustice. We have to fight to struggle, to organize, to unite, and fight together. This needs to be the recommendations made to this World Social Forum.
Morales' first significant step towards empowering Native Bolivians was to ensure that they controlled their natural resources. On May 1, 2006, the president nationalized Bolivia's oil and gas sector, which was controlled by foreign multinational corporations. He declared, quote, "The looting by the foreign companies has ended. The time has come, the awaited day, a historic day, in which Bolivia retakes absolute control of our natural resources," unquote. Oil and gas are Bolivia's biggest export revenue earners. The Center for International Policy in Washington, D.C. described the nationalization in these words. In a single sweep of the pen, Bolivian President Evo Morales has rearranged the continent's entire geopolitical map.
Morales also nationalized mining companies, the biggest telecommunications company, and has moved to nationalize electricity companies. All three sectors are dominated by foreign multinationals, whom Morales has blamed for Bolivia's poverty, saying that they have plundered the country's mineral and energy riches. In the oil and gas sector, a major effect of the nationalization was to increase revenues for the government about five times.
Sabina Gonzalez is from the province of Tarija in Bolivia. She works with the Tarija Housing and Tenants Federation, and we spoke to her at the World Social Forum in Belém.
Through the nationalization of our industries, most importantly in the hydrocarbon sector, as well as other resources previously under control of multinationals, we have seen more development. Before, they used to say that this nationalization could not be done and would not work, but we are gaining back our sovereignty, and in the same manner, we are giving our nation back its sovereignty.
De los llanos orientales a las cumbres andinas, del Madre de Dios al Pilcomayo, todos juntos somos Bolivia y seremos muchos más.
Morales has used the increased revenues generated by nationalization to give the people free health care and education.
First of all, when speaking about the democratic revolution that Bolivia is undergoing, let's first address the issue of health care. We have witnessed a change, a revolutionary change, in terms of the new policies that our president has implemented. This is especially true in the redistribution of revenue made from resources such as hydrocarbons amongst the various municipalities in our country, so that these can be invested in health care and education programs.
The provision of free health care and education has reduced Bolivia's infant mortality rate from 54 per 1,000 babies to 50 and wiped out illiteracy. Both achievements have been attained with the help of Cuban doctors and teachers. Before Morales came to power, Bolivia had the highest illiteracy rate in South America at 45%. This has been eradicated in only 4 years. The government has built 545 health facilities, performed free vision operations for 425,000 people, constructed 269 school buildings, and increased teacher salaries by 30%. We hear from Rosemary Irusta.
En la salud, bueno, ha sido posible una...
With regards to health care, there have been coordinated efforts with Cuba involving teams of Cuban doctors that have provided services to the most remote areas in the country. These are places where our own doctors had refused to work in the past. These Cuban doctors continue to deliver high-quality services to our people with human warmth and great care.
En la educación también ha mejorado.
Our education system has also improved. Bigger schools have been built. The number of openings has increased so more students can enroll. There's also a literacy campaign in place that also counts on the support of Cuban experts. So now in Bolivia, we say zero illiteracy in Bolivia. This is the truth. This campaign to improve our education is happening in all provinces and most remote areas in our country.
Additionally, since 2006, the government has launched several programs for the poorest Bolivians. These include payments to poor families who send their children to school, universal public pensions for the elderly, and payments to mothers to expand care for them and their babies before and after the women give birth. Here is Tomás Wanaku.
La anterior gestión de gobierno que estaba administrado por la derecha, por la oligarquía, han dejado leyes.
The previous government in power was controlled by the right wing and the oligarchy, and it left laws in place that have stalled advancement in terms of health care and education. However, the current government of Evo Morales has launched new policies of assistance which provide 200 bolivianos to all the children enrolled in primary and secondary school.
Una política de asistencia con 200 bolivianos a todos los niños que están en las escuelas y en los colegios.
Despite its wealth of natural resources, Bolivia has long been the poorest country in Latin America. A crucial reason for this has been the stealing of land from the native people by the white elite. Bolivia has one of the most unequal land ownership patterns in the world, with two-thirds of the land being owned by 1% of the population. Indigenous people control less than 10% of the land. In eastern Bolivia, 62 million acres of agricultural land is managed by 100 families, while the remaining 12 million acres is shared by 2 million families.
The Morales government's new constitution calls for the expropriation of large land holdings and for the redistribution of land amongst those who produce for the benefit of society. Land holdings have been limited to 12,400 acres or 5,000 hectares. The government has redistributed 26 million hectares of land to about 100,000 families. Tomás Wanaku.
Precisamente este último referéndum hemos votado para que los terratenientes ya no tengan.
In this last referendum, we firmly voted in favor of allowing a maximum of 5,000 hectares per land holding. This brings to a halt the previous system, which granted private landowners and agribusinesses the ownership of hundreds of thousands of hectares of prime land.
Las empresas agrarias. And here is Rosemary Irusta.
The majority chose 5,000. We feel that this is land enough to work and provide for oneself, to have a stable agricultural sector and to support cattle raising activities. This helps us strike a balance so that we avoid having a few who have possession of most of the available land.
Along with the indigenous majority, the Morales government has also empowered another majority that is just as important, that of women. Half of the cabinet in the Morales government is made up of women.
En el gobierno de Evo Morales se ha visto muy fuerte el posicionamiento de las mujeres porque muchas de
The government of Evo Morales has strongly helped empower women. Many of them have been placed in positions of influence. At this moment, we have a woman in charge of the Ministry of Justice. She is also an indigenous person who lacks a title or training as a lawyer, but certainly makes up for it with her extensive knowledge of human rights. She's also assisted by trained legal counsel. This nomination, we believe, was very important since it showed that both women and indigenous people are capable and are able to take on these roles, though we have not had access to formal education. Still, we have managed to improve our lives and are committed to this process of self and political awareness that has led us to this point where we find ourselves.
Por lo que estamos en un lugar indicado.
Sabina González.
Pero ahora con este nuevo gobierno se ha visto más, ¿no? Entonces ha habido.
We see more women working in the ministries and vice ministries, occupying positions as ministers and delegates, and they are part of the decision-making process. They are not tokens, but make decisions. They have power. This is what we have witnessed.
Están ahí ellas ahí, no, sino que tomando decisiones tienen poder. ¿No? Entonces hemos visto.
This is very important. We women are protagonists in this revolution. We have seen and facilitated, we have initiated and participated, and I believe we form part of this revolutionary process.
The success of the Bolivian Revolution is a major defeat for U.S. imperialism, which has kept Bolivia poor and oppressed for decades. Bolivia has long been dominated by the United States, which has imposed vicious military dictatorships on it, led by mass murderers, cocaine traffickers, and Nazis. The U.S. has treated Bolivia with such horrific contempt that it placed a notorious Nazi as a senior security assistant to two Bolivian dictatorships that Washington put in power. The Nazi was SS officer Klaus Barbie, a genocidal monster who was involved in the killing of more than a million people in the Second World War. For his murdering skills, Barbie was recruited by U.S. intelligence after the war and brought to Bolivia to help suppress revolutionary movements.
Barbie was a close security advisor to and longtime friend of General Hugo Banzer, who took over Bolivia after a bloody military coup in 1970. Barbie helped plan the coup, and for this was made an honorary colonel. The Banzer coup was known for its extreme violence, which included the killing of more than 3,000 leftists and union organizers, the suppression of tin miners, and the shutting down of universities. An even more violent coup, also planned by Barbie, took place in 1980 and was led by General García Meza. This time, Barbie was made head of Bolivia's internal security forces. The regime gathered thousands of opposition leaders in the capital La Paz soccer stadium and shot them en masse, dumping their bodies in rivers.
This military takeover became known as the cocaine coup because General García Meza made Bolivia the world's leading supplier of cocaine. The Bolivian generals made $2 billion from the cocaine trade in 1981 alone. U.S.-imposed Bolivian military dictatorships were followed by 20 years of neoliberal governments, also controlled from Washington, which lasted from 1985 until Morales' election in 2005. These governments looted Bolivia's resources in league with multinational companies and impoverished its population. When Morales came to power, the U.S. tried to overthrow him by using its ambassador, Philip Goldberg, to foment a violent secessionist movement in the eastern provinces of Santa Cruz, Pando, Beni, and Tarija.
Morales reacted by expelling the U.S. ambassador and jailing the governor of Pando for killing 15 peasants. Morales has also kicked out the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration and the U.S. Agency for International Development from Bolivia. These moves have been popular among Bolivians such as Sabina Gonzalez and Rosemary Irusta.
Esto es importante, ¿no? La liberación que tienen los pueblos, no solamente en Bolivia, sino que ya se está viendo en Latinoamérica.
Our people's liberation is of great importance. We are observing that people in Bolivia and the rest of Latin America are losing their fear of that monster we know as the United States. We are making them respect our rights as nations. And we should make note that if our president is not happy with the actions taken by foreign ambassadors assigned to Bolivia, he would ask them to leave. The same goes for certain organizations that were asked to leave from the province of Chapare. The same goes for their ambassadors in Bolivia, because they need to show us respect.
La liberación de las personas del dominio imperialista. Creo que esto ha sido...
Gaining back our freedom from the imperialist powers has been very important, not only for our country, but for the rest of Latin America. The right wing has suffered a great shock to its economy, that sector that they used to control. We, the masses, welcome this shock, despite years of conditioning. They always gave us the crumbs. They locked us in a constant state of debt. So we spent more than we made, which in turn kept us begging for whatever little money they would dispense, when in reality, their wealth was made from the resources that belonged to all of us. The imperialists signed agreements and treaties with previous governments. They took advantage of us then, but now they are no longer able to do so. We are humbly proud of our president, who has made us recognize that no one has the right to own anyone else. And the U.S. imperialism needs to understand that humans are beings and not objects.
Tiene que entender que las personas existimos como personas, no como objetos.
The Bolivian victory over U.S. imperialism so far has been specially inspired by Che Guevara. Che was killed in Bolivia in October 1967 by the U.S.-directed military. He had come to start the Latin American Revolution. In 2009, Evo Morales spoke at a tribute to the guerrilla hero, calling him invincible in his ideals. Morales added, "And in all this history, after so many years, Che inspires us to continue fighting, changing not only Bolivia, but all of Latin America, and better the world."
You have been listening to Bolivia, the Indigenous Revolution, the second episode of the documentary series, The Latin American Revolution.
The Latin American Revolution is dedicated to the memory of Che Guevara.
This documentary was written by Asad Ismi and produced by Kristen Schwartz. Go to www.asadismi.ws to download the series.
Translation in this episode by Susie Alvarez.
Theme music is Seis por Derecho and El Gabán by Egberto Chirridos and Henry Rubio of Venezuela from the album Festival Llanero. In this episode, you also heard Somos Más by Luis Alberto Aguilar.
Narration by Asad Ismi and Kristen Schwartz. Voiceover in this episode by Michael Brito, Amandeep Panag, Dr. Maria Paz Victor, Raul Bourbano, and Rachel Warden.
Special thanks to Susie Alvarez, Sarah Larrero, Alini Santos, and to Danae Parrott and Kevin Shaw at CHRY 105.5 FM for studio facilities.
This documentary was funded by Canadian Union of Postal Workers National,
CUPW Local 576 North Bay,
Canadian Union of Public Employees Local 3903,
Ontario Public Service Employees Union,
Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation,
Ontario English Catholic Teachers Association,
Public Service Alliance of Canada,
and the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. Thank you for listening.
There is this thing. Do you realize?
Consciousness is affected.
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize?
That does it for this edition of Off the Hour. Thank you due to Kristen and Asad for getting us the audio, to Steph and myself for hosting and engineering the program, and to all those who make educational and inspirational radio here at CKUT possible. For more information or a copy of anything you've heard tonight, or if you would like to participate or support news produced by and for the Montreal community, please contact CKUT's Community News Department at 514-448-4041, extension 6788, or news@ckut.ca. Do stay tuned. A special edition of Hearsay with Spitfire on deck and coming up next. Have a good night.